Now follows a gale of laughter warning. Attention all guffaw gourmets, stand by for giggles, gags, and grins as we join the madcap capers of Unnatural Acts and discover our young friends, Mr. and Mrs. Hardy, one day watching a glorious and colourful royal ceremony on the television with a close friend, sitting spellbound by the pageantry of this solemn and historic occasion.
What a load of mindless crap.
Shh, I think it's lovely. She looks like something out of a fairy tale.
Yeah, Rumpelstiltskin.
It's very easy for outsiders to sneer at our traditions, darling, but the royal family worked terrifically hard as ambassadors for Britain.
Yeah, like Prince Philip and his diplomatic work in China.
Shut up. I'm trying to concentrate.
Where are the Sex Pistols when you really need them?
And as the procession moves off down the canal, the royal party emerge from the gates of the palace, and they come out from the palace gates. Out they come now, and it's the gates that they're coming out of. In this truly exciting event, as they come out of the gate.
Hey, get a load of those fools standing in the rain. What are they, serfs?
Ah, no, Gary. I think you'll find these people would be classified as villains.
What's the difference?
It's something to do with strip farming.
Never played that.
And now the royal party are out of the palace gates.
Jeremy, you're not watching. Look, they're out of the palace gates.
I am watching.
No, you're not. You're reading the paper.
I'm perfectly capable of looking at a newspaper and watching television at the same time.
Jeremy, how can you look in two different directions at once?
I don't know, but I can. It runs in my mother's side of the family.
Oh, so it's a genital defect.
It will be if he looks at that picture much longer.
Oh, look at all the loyal suspects paying hemorrhage to their monarch.
Yeah, look at that nutcase with the 10-foot-tall Union Jack top hat. One of the most ardent monarchs is also completely wacko.
It's just harmless enthusiasm, kid. I mean, look at that old dear waving a placard. What does it say? Down with the Hanoverian usurpers, the rightful heir will come to claim his throne. Oh dear, can't you see they're just charmingly eccentric?
Yeah, like that guy. He's stark raving eccentric. Trying to sell a red, white, and blue hot dog to the Queen.
Wait a minute. He's Paul!
Oh my God, he's being arrested.
And there appears to be a slight disturbance at the palace gates.
Not again, it's so upsetting when Paul gets into trouble.
Yeah, poor guy, he does have a knack for it.
Stuff that, he always gives my name and address to the police.
Oh, thank goodness you're back, Paul. Did the police mistreat you? Did you get an intimate body search?
Nah.
Oh, I'd hate to have to do that to a policeman.
So, Dillinger, how'd you spring yourself from the slammer?
Well, Kit, you've got an hour to play the game with the old Bill, do you know what I mean? There happens to be a lot of mutual respect between me and the top governors in the Sweeney. And, of course, a guy with my kind of influence can, like, you know, pull a few strings, yeah?
So you did give them my name and address.
Yeah, sorry about that, Jezza, but don't worry, I'll help you out with a fine. But as it happens, it wasn't the law that was the problem. It was this batty old trout they locked me in the van with. God dear, she was well ready for the rubber wallpaper.
Oh, was that the one we saw on the telly standing next to with the placard?
Yeah, that's the one.
Sure, one of Jeremy's traditional oldie-worldy psychopaths. What was her story?
Well, she was going on and on about this theory she's got, yeah? All about how the royal family aren't really the rightful heirs to the throne, and how there's a lost English bloodline that has a stronger claim to the crown. Now, I don't know, she had it all worked out. It goes back to, what's his name, you know, that king with the bad back and the funny voice.
Oh, Quasimodo!
You know, lost his horse. Velvet Berry.
Oh, Richard III.
Yeah, that's the bloke.
Hey, I saw that play at the National Theatre last year, and the lead actor was really brave. I mean, he had some accident, and he did the whole play on crutches.
Anyway, apparently, just before the other mob, like, give him the old radical acupuncture at the Battle of Bosworth, he gave his crown to his brother. Now, he was the guy who drowned in a butt of Malmsey wine.
Boy, those guys sure knew how to party.
Yeah, they knew a couple of tricks with a red-hot poker that'd cure your hemorrhoids as well. Anyway, his daughter, right, his daughter married some bloke called Richard Pole of Lincoln, and his descendants are, in fact, the rightful heirs to the throne.
Oh, how romantic. Paul, how does the poker fit in?
I'll tell you later.
Well, it's a fascinating theory, Paul. You see, the history of the British monarchy is a complex tapestry of interwoven family relationships.
In other words, a bunch of inbred retards.
All right, yeah. But the trouble with this old bag's theory is that anybody could end up being a king according to her. I mean, for example, like Jeremy, right? Let's say that your maternal grandmother's maiden name was Pole, right?
I think my maternal grandmother's name was Pole.
Yeah, all right, but let's suppose, right, that you also had this congenital ability to focus your eyes on two objects at once, yeah?
Jeremy can do that.
Yeah, all right, yeah, but if it turned out that you also had a rare hereditary condition so that every full moon you got a terrible plague of pimples all over the old...
Jeremy gets that!
Shut up, kid! Wait a minute. It all fits. The rightful heir!
My liege!
Hey, what is all this? Caroline, get up and leave Jeremy's feet alone.
Yeah, don't get them wet, they might be valuable.
I'm anointing them with my hair.
Now, steady on, you two. It's probably all just a simple matter of coincidence. I'm sure there are plenty of people with my optical peculiarity, and some of them have probably got a lot more pimples on their... Not that I have, but if I did, then I'm sure that they'd probably have more. Mind you, the other day somebody did remark on my regal attitude.
What they said, Jeremy, was that you're a royal pain in the ass.
Don't listen to her, Your Majesty. I will be loyal to you. I would be privileged to carry the royal offspring in my womb. Look, I've got great childbearing hips.
Please, Caroline, I just had my lunch.
I don't believe this. You guys have all flipped.
Not necessarily, Kitty. I mean, Jeremy might just turn out to be the rightful king of England.
Oh, yes, and look outside the window. Here's a big coach pulling up, made out of a pumpkin. Oh, and here's the fairy godmother. I'll let her in on my way out, shall I? You guys be sure to let me know how things go in Toy Town.
No, listen, Kit, no, really, can't you see it, Kit? His most sovereign and puissant majesty, King Jeremy the First of Great Britain, defender of the faith, protector of the dominions, and monarch of the Glen.
All right, seat yourself.
Now, listen, we really might be onto something here. Now, look, Caroline,
yeah.
You get down a reference library and get all the research material you can.
Right.
Okay, Jeremy, you get on the phone and phone up all your relatives and see how much of your family history you can put together.
Yes,
I'm going to track down that old biddy. I mean, the police van dropped her off on the corner with me, so she can't live too far.
And it really is a most terrific honour to meet the rightful heir in the flesh.
Yeah, all right, get on with it, will you?
Very well. Now listen to me very carefully.
Hmm?
It is a matter of great importance for you, your children, and your children's children.
Like Ribena.
The House of Windsor are usurpers. The monarchy of the United Kingdom is based on a fallacy. Do you know the story of Edmund Pole?
No.
He was a bastard.
Yeah, so Jeremy is the obvious successor.
Of course. See, it all goes back to Richard III, who had a better claim to the throne than the Tudors.
Can't I just have a blood test or something?
Yeah, that's right. Roll up your sleeve and we'll see if it's blue.
That won't be necessary. The hereditary eye defect is ample proof. It's clearly mentioned in early versions of Richard III. One eye hath he on the tower, and one upon the moat.
Oh, yeah, so he could see in two places at once, yeah?
No, that was after his eyes were gouged out by the Bishop of Ruislip, whose grandfather, incidentally, married the Duke of Malmesbury, whose 12th cousin was juxtaposed at the back of the bottle. He was hit in the eye. However, it is a little-known fact that King Harold was astigmatic and wore wooden contact lenses. Thus, the arrow was in fact deflected. He survived and founded a dynasty who were the true rulers of England. His son, Æthelfroth the Unready, begat Æthelgar the Fairly Ready and Egnir the Ever Ready. His wife, Katharina of Crawley, brought him a son, Ian the Unreliable. Ian marries Gelda the Fair. Their son, Stephen, married Sharon, whose son, William, married himself by mistake. And thus the line died out. But never mind all that. Meanwhile, Richard III was king. And as I've explained, that is where your bloodline descends from.
Yeah, it all checks out, Jezza. You are the rightful king.
Oh, thank you very much.
Quite. It really is an honour. Of course, I have spent the last 25 years researching this subject at considerable expense to myself. Now, it's just one.
Oh, yes, well, yes. Speaking as the Chancellor of the Exchequer and the Keeper of the King's Privy Readies, there'll be a few groats for you in the post. Now, push off.
It was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, all right, bye.
Paul, what's all this about you controlling my finances?
That's traditional, Jezza. I mean, the Queen never carries any ready cash with her.
How do you know?
Well, she never paid me for that bleeding hot dog, did she? Talking of money, listen, I think we can definitely make a bob or two here, Jezza. I mean, sorry, Your Royal Highness.
Honey, I'm home.
Hello, Kitty. Here, come sit down. You look nice. Do you want a drink? I can massage your feet if you like.
What have you done?
The dishes, the hoovering, I've washed the floors, I put the washing out. I didn't get round to starting the kitchen extension because we're out of bricks.
All right, out with it. God, I sure hope Paul's dropped all that king business.
Oh, definitely. Possibly. Not.
Babes, you know it's a bunch of bull, don't you?
Oh, good Lord, yeah, sort of. I'll get your drink, shall I? Oh, now, there was one thing I meant to tell you before I forget. Just a small thing, really. Ice and lemon in your coffee?
And so, flushed with modest excitement at the prospect of his noble destiny, the man who would be king and solemnly assume the awesome and historic mantle of greatness breaks the joyous tidings to his delighted spouse.
You what?
Whose delicate feminine sensibilities lead her to react with the predictable grace and dignity which will surely equip her to play her part in the momentous events to come.
Over my dead body! I'm gonna knock your block off, numbnuts!
Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And so, who better to assist in administering the complex affairs of state than His Majesty's loyal confidant and trusted friend, who selflessly devotes himself to the protection and custody of those delicate matters forming the glorious fabric of the cloak of kingship. Regal Enterprises PLC? Yep, speaking.
Regal Enterprises, can you hold, please?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Listen, I can let you have the South of England and Mercia franchise to market the exclusive King Jeremy cuddly toy for 75% of your gross.
Regal Enterprises? No, he's not, Tim. Can I take a message? I see. Yes. Yes, thank you. Your Majesty?
Yes?
Your mum just rang and she asked if you wanted to have your vest monogrammed.
Oh, nice one. See if she can do us 5,000 by Friday.
What am I going to do with 5,000 vests?
I will shift them to the punters at the coronation, Jezza.
You can't use my mum with sweated labour. She's the Queen Mother.
All right, all right. Just tell her to work on the waving and smiling and lay off the gin, all right?
Regal Enterprises? Yes, hold on for a moment. Your Majesty, it's the news of the world.
Give me that phone! Listen, why don't you people leave us alone and find yourselves a sex-change bishop who makes it with a hamster? News of the world. News of whose goddamn world, I'd like to know.
Excuse me, Sir Paul. It's the Thane of Cawdor on the line.
Who is the Thane of Cawdor?
Oh, you remember Jock with a lock-up in the market stall. I bunged him and thaned him. I mean, he's a useful contact. Here, give us a blower. Hello? This is Sir Paul B. Davis, Chancellor of the Exchequer, Viscount Hackney of the Wick, Keeper of the King's Credit Cards, Knight of the Living Dead, Lord of the Flies, and Comptroller of the Privy.
He's got more titles than a public library.
Oh, hello, Jock, my son. Here, listen, I need some furry dice for the state landau. Yeah, lovely, my son. Here, do you want to have a word with the king?
Hey, listen, Paul, you tell Jock that His Majesty's got important affairs of estate to attend to. Jeremy, get in the kitchen and empty the trash.
All right. I'm in. Yeah, we've got servants arriving this afternoon. They can take the rubbish out.
Servants? Who's paying for that?
It comes out of the royal coffers.
What?
Well, my post office junior savings account.
Here, Jezza, can you just nip down a photo me kiosk? I need a nice profile to go on the stamps.
Have you seen Jer's profile? You'd better stick with a full-face shot, Paul. You won't get that nose on a stamp and still have room to address the envelope.
Yes, wait. You can't talk about him like that. This is the King of England. He's not just a pathetic little wimp anymore.
Yes, Kit, that's right.
I don't know why you're letting Paul push you around. When are you going to stand up for yourself and do as I tell you?
I'm not used to being king. It's a lot of responsibility being a major tourist attraction.
You haven't even been elected. Why, in America, anyone can have a shot at being president. Or a shot at the president, for that matter.
You must realise, Kit, that although, as monarch, theoretically, I have the power, for example, to dissolve Parliament, I would never do so against the wishes of my Prime Minister, unless, in my judgment, the government was undemocratically flouting human rights and running the country into the ground. Paul, get me the House of Commons on the phone.
Oh, excuse me, Jezza, could you just sign this?
Oh, all right, what is it?
Ah, just a royal proclamation. Ever been to Scotland?
No.
Fancy going there?
Not really, no.
Oh, good. You just sold it to the Japanese.
Hey! You can't hand Scotland over to the Japs in exchange for ready cash. Remember Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, maybe you're right. I better ask for a receipt.
Oh, terrific. There goes my chances of buying something nice in the Hardy Tartan.
Darling, we're all going to have to make certain sacrifices and changes to our lifestyle as part of our patriotic duty.
Your patriotic duty? What about me, King Prawn? Where do I fit in?
Well, you'll be queen.
Queen? The Queen? Her Majesty, the Queen. Kitty of England. The Big Cheese. That means I can do anything I want.
Well, it's true you would have certain traditional privileges.
Total unlimited power. Complete control.
Ah, now, why it is true that there is no written constitution...
Great. Get me a pen and paper. And I can pass some laws.
Darling.
I can introduce a death penalty for cab drivers. And I won't have to queue at Tesco's.
And so the trappings of monarchy accumulate around the royal person. And this historic and revolutionary attempt upon the throne of England gallops on apace. Meanwhile, dedicated research is conducted around the clock to unearth the vital evidence that will ratify the bold claim of the Hardy bloodline with solemn and binding ancient documents.
Oh, hello, Caroline. Any luck at the library?
Yeah, I found 50p on the floor.
Oh, great. I'll take my 25 later. Did you get all the bump on how to be king, like?
Well, they didn't seem to have the book I was looking for.
Oh, which one was that, then?
The Doomsday Book. The librarian said it was out of print. She said there's only one copy and it's been in the British Museum for the last 900 years.
Blimey, that's a bit overdue, isn't it? I paid a fine on that one.
Don't be stupid, Paul. They'll have renewed it.
Sorry. Yeah, look, did you ask if they had anything else?
Well, I was just about to, and then I suddenly remembered something.
What's that, then?
I work in a bookshop.
Of course. Now, why didn't I think of that?
Well, you don't work in a bookshop.
Look, Carol, just tell us what happened, will you?
I'm trying to. It's all in this ancient manuscript I dug out. Just wait till you hear this.
This is it, Kazza. This is the big one.
Right. It's dead simple.
Yeah, go on.
Hi thee, Hensy Clepid Boaty. Twainy Exity Yimoty. City stride, tether goaty, reedy scriven on your noty. This must be for the King of Sweden.
Ah, no. It's dead easy. It's Middle English. You just drop all the E's. Look, here, look. Hire a clapped-out boat, second exit off the moat, ride a tethered goat, read the scribble on the note. Piece of cake. What does the note say?
Goddy savey kingy.
Yeah, I'll come back to that one. Now, all we got to do now is get ourselves a goat... Nip down the Thames, yep. Land at the Tower of London and proclaim Jezza as the rightful King of England.
Oh, yes!
Right, OK, Caroline, you get hold of the goat, I'll take care of the transport,
right?
Your loyal subjects!
Greetings, Your Majesty, Mustache!
Oh, you're going now?
Yeah, I've got to find a goat. Fine!
Oh, dear, when's she going to settle down and find a nice boyfriend?
Never mind her, Jezza. Where have you two been, eh?
Shopping. I thought if I'm going to be the Queen, I ought to present an appearance that is appropriate to my dignity and position. So I bought a pair of new Levi's.
Jeremy, you can't just go out shopping without telling me. I mean, you are the King. I mean, what would happen if the Tsar of all the Russias suddenly gets on the dog and bone wanting to start a diplomatic incident in the Balkans and you're out looking for ermine boxer shorts in Top Man? I mean, I'd be well lumbered.
Good Lord, Paul, do I have to account for my every moment? You'll be following me into the toilet next.
Ah, no need for that, Jezza. I've installed a closed-circuit TV camera in there. Don't take your coats off. The fateful moment has arrived. So jump into the state cortina and I will drive you to your rendezvous with the magnificent Royal Barge.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats on board the SS Mother Brown for your genuine, authentic Cockney-style River Thames sightseeing tour.
Paul, I don't suppose this Charing Cross to Greenwich pleasure cruiser has got anything to do with our Royal Barge, has it?
Jezza, you just cannot get the oarsmen these days. Besides, it'll be quicker. Now, hop on board. There's a good, Your Majesty.
Hey, how about this for a proclamation, guys? Attention all my loyal and free subjects. Let's not stand on ceremony royalty-wise. I, your ruler, wish it to be known that formality is unnecessary. Please just call me Kit. Or maybe like Kit the Great.
For God's sake, Caroline, keep that goat quiet.
Can't.
Well, just pretend it's your baby.
My baby looks nothing like a goat. Besides, I haven't got one.
Oh, I don't know. I think he's got his mother's eyes.
No!
A little sod headbutted me.
You startled it, Jezza. The goat is a sensitive and majestic beast. It has to be treated with kid gloves. Oh, sorry, Billy, sorry. Slip of the tongue there, mate, sorry. Now, that's it, Kazza. Just pick him up and treat him as if he was a baby.
I wouldn't breastfeed him if I were you, Caroline. See the mess he made of our yucca plant.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have now embarked, and as we glide into this historic waterway, you will see on our right the genuine Thames waterside, which has remained virtually unchanged since Tudor times. Apart from the multi-million pound marina project and the nuclear waste reprocessing plant. Note the thatched roof and half timbering directly above the heavy water regurgitating outlet.
Yeah. I wonder where all my mates are. I mean, I was expecting a few of the regulars from Tosses to turn out. I mean, this business is a bit short of courtiers, doesn't it?
Paul, can you keep your voice down? I'd like to re-establish my dynasty as discreetly as possible. This thing's full of tourists. Oh, my God, here come the Yanks. Please don't try and sell them my underwear.
Tell me, are these seats here free?
Well, there is a small charge.
Paul! Yes, they're free.
Gee, thank you very much, young fella. Well, honey, here we are.
According to the guidebook, we're going to pass the exact spot where the Black Death started. Isn't that cute?
Gee, look, honey. There's the cathedral St. Paul built on the way to Damascus. And to think he was totally blind...
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, on our way back up the river, we'll have the opportunity to pop into a traditional Cockney pub where every night is knees-up night. And you'll be able to sample a taste of old London with a sizzling portion of deep-fried jellied McWelk nuggets. And you'll be shaking hands with a real pearly king and queen.
Hey, honey, listen to this, honey. Cor blimey, Mary Poppins. It's a real pea super tonight, ain't it? And no mistake. Chim-chimini, chim-chim.
Oh, Ed! You send me, really?
Ooh, look at that pollution. Why, it's just like home.
See, honey, look, there's the post office Tower of London where King Solomon burnt the cakes.
God, American tourists, how embarrassing.
And as we approach the tower... Di, what are you doing?
I'm commandeering this craft. I'm the First Lord of the Admiralty.
Hey, you crashed it now.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Sunshine, don't worry. I hereby create you a companion of the Royal B-Day. Now get out of the way. Jezza, Kit, jump ashore. Caroline, got to go?
Always woken up. There, Mummy's here.
All right, cool. Now what?
Now we unfurl the royal standard and your followers will rally to you. Now, I'm afraid the standard was a bit of a rushed job, Mike. As you can see, it's a lion couchant. Well, actually, it's a Garfield poster. And a unicorn rampant with Bar Sinister all on a field of gold.
Actually, it's called Pale Lemon, and I should know because it's my duvet cover.
Oh, look, there's some funny men running this way.
Oh, yeah, they'll be the loyal followers that I wound up down the pub rallying to the course. Here, great, look, they're all even wearing fancy dress.
Paul, those men are beef-eaters.
All right, you comedians, you're under arrest. Come with us.
I can explain everything.
Put my husband down.
Now, come along, everyone. Be reasonable and you won't get hurt. Well, not much anyway. Yeah, that is true. But, I mean, look on the bright side, Jezza. I mean, we are exactly where we wanted to be. In a room inside the Tower of London.
Yes, Paul, but the room is locked from the outside, and we're under arrest. And the Tower of London is where they imprison traitors. And there's still the death penalty for treason.
Oh, for a dawn, the brave king, he must die, tra-la, but he is not afraid, yay, even though his entrails will be torn out, for he is the noble...
Shut up, Caroline. No one's going to get their entrails ripped out, all right? It'll probably be just a clean cut with the axe. Mind you, I have heard that sometimes it takes 4 or 5 goes. I seem to have really blown it this time, don't I?
No, Paul, it's not your fault. If I hadn't gone along with it, we wouldn't be in this mess. It was a silly, foolish dream to imagine that I could be king.
Oh, don't worry, honey. You'll always be king to me. God, they've come for us. Be brave, Billy.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Sir James Twistleton Forbes Smythe, and...
Look, the others had nothing to do with this. I'm entirely to blame. Please let them go.
I see. Well, Mr. Hardy, we at the Home Office have examined your claim to the throne of England most carefully. And I must tell you that everything appears to be in order. So, if you would just allow Mrs. Windsor the weekend to remove her belongings, you may move into the palace on Monday.
I long live the king!
And queen!
Long live your majesty!
There is, however, one small problem.
What do you mean?
Your wife.
What?
How can I put this? She's not entirely suitable.
Not suitable? Why not?
Well, let's face it, Mr. Hardy, she is, after all, an American. And I'm afraid we cannot possibly have an American sharing the throne with you. So I'm afraid your choice is quite clear, Mr. Hardy. It's the throne or your wife.
And so, a moment of history is born. And a few days later, an expectant nation tunes its television receivers to a specially scheduled royal broadcast in which the new monarch makes an earth-shattering announcement of vital concern to the lives of every man, woman, and child in this green and pleasant land.
But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do without the help and support of the woman I love. And next on the video box, we'll be hearing from some Channel 4 viewers who object to what they see as biased and uncontrolled.
Oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. To think you gave up all that for me.
Well, Kit, a man's got to do various things, and foremost amongst those things is the need to recognize which of those things is more foremost than the other things.
Oh, it's so romantic. Just like Emmerdale Farm.
Yeah, and luckily I managed to knock out all the T-shirts to a coachload of Norwegian Bible students.
So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, I think you made the right decision, Jezza. Although, do you know what? Funnily enough, while we were doing all that research, I found out that my family tree goes all the way back to Owen Glendower, who, as you know, had a much stronger claim to the throne than the Plantagenets in the first place. And so I reckon that I've got a really good chance of proving that I am, in fact, the rightful heir to the throne.
Oh, no! Not again!
You have been listening to Unnatural Acts with Kit Hollaback, Jeremy Hardy, Caroline Leddy and Paul B. Davis. The script was written by the cast with Steve Punt and Pete Sinclair. The programme was produced by David Tyler. And join us for our next episode when the plans of a vastly superior being from another galaxy to take over the world are thwarted by a young amateur ventriloquist from Balham with hilarious consequences.